Hi there, this is Harry and welcome to my podcast where I try to help you to get a better understanding of the English language so that you can enjoy it, you can use it and you can practice it. So we talk about idioms and phrasal verbs, show you the best way to use the grammar to correct those grammar mistakes, improve vocabulary and also pronunciation. So if there's anybody there that you think will enjoy it or could learn from this, well, please share the details with them. And as always, I'll give you my contact details at the end of this particular podcast. So what am I going to talk to you about today? Well, we're going to look at things connected with animals, okay? And so we're going to look at idioms, animal idioms. So I've got 10 or 11 of those. I'll give them to you and then I'll give you an example and hopefully you'll be able to understand how and where to use them. So here they are. Teaching an old dog new tricks. Big fish in a small pond. A fly on the wall. There's more fish in the sea. Barking up the wrong tree. The cat that got the cream. Empty nest. Lone shark. Top dog. Ruffle feathers. And I'm going to throw in another one there. The elephant in the room. The elephant in the room. Okay, so let me take them one at a time. So, first, teaching an old dog new tricks. Well, often we use this in the negative and we say you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. Meaning that when somebody is set in their ways and when somebody has been doing the same thing year in, year out, it's very hard to get them to change, to do something different. So we can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's what they tell me. I'm the old dog and they don't think I can learn new tricks. But I learned a lot of new tricks in relation to the internet. But generally speaking, it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. And if you get an old dog, literally an old dog from a compound or some shelter, then they come with their old habits and you can't really change them. You can love them, but you can't change them. So yes, very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. Okay, second, a big fish in a small pond. Well, this relates to lots of things. It can relate generally to business, can relate to how you feel within a community. Okay, so when you're a big fish in a small pond, you have control and you feel important and you feel powerful. But sometimes you can be a small fish in a very big pond, in which case then you feel out of your depth and not quite in control. So a big fish in a small pond, somebody who is in control can do as they please. And perhaps they've grown a little too big for that small pond. And it's time to move on. So sometimes from a business perspective, if you started off your career in a company and you got a few promotions and then, you know, it's difficult to do anything else, it's difficult to move forward. So you're looking around perhaps for another position and you talk to your boss and you say, well, you know, at the moment, perhaps I am a big fish in a small pond, but perhaps I need to try another pond a little bit bigger. And I think it's time to move on. Okay, so you no longer wish to be the big fish in a small pond. Perhaps you need to be just another ordinary fish in a bigger pond and grow into that. Okay, a fly on the wall. Well, we often use this expression when we want to listen in or we would like to listen in on certain conversations and we know we won't get to hear them, but we say, God, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that meeting. Okay, so if there's a big political meeting going to happen, perhaps a summit between Mr. Putin and the President of the United States or Mrs. Merkel and some other leader where there's a bit of trouble or perhaps there's a bit of negotiation that has to take place, you'd say, oh, I'd like to be a fly on that wall. You know, so I can hear what they say or how they say it. And in what way that they say it. Okay, so to be a fly on the wall is to be unseen, but you can listen. Okay, so that annoying fly that buzzes around your room and when you try to find it, it's somewhere, but you can't actually see it. So you want to be that fly on the wall so you can hear what's going on. There are more fish in the sea. Well, this is when somebody's broken their heart over some lost love. Your daughter has fallen out with the boyfriend, or he's gone off with some other girl, or something's happened. And of course, we try to comfort the children and we say, look, don't worry, there are more fish in the sea than him. Yeah, so there are plenty of fish in the sea. You can find somebody else, absolutely no problem. Cast your net a little further and you'll find somebody. Give it a little bit of time. So there are more fish in the sea. But of course, the classic answer you get back from daughter number one is, but I wanted that fish. Yes, well, unfortunately, that fish has moved on. So you have to look further afield, move out, and you'll find more fish in the sea. Okay, barking up the wrong tree. Well, barking refers to a dog. And often when a dog goes chasing a cat and he sits at the tree and he's barking, and you know the dog's made a terrible mistake because the cat is in the other tree. Yeah, so literally the dog is barking up the wrong tree. So when we use the expression barking up the wrong tree, it means you've made a mistake. You have been misled, or you haven't quite got the story right, so you're barking up the wrong tree. So perhaps you're looking to find out what went wrong in some marketing campaign, or you're trying to find out which of the kids broke your favorite cup or glass, and you're trying to blame child number one when in fact it was child number two, and your partner, wife or husband says to you, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. You'll probably find that it wasn't him or her that did it. Yeah, so to be barking up the wrong tree is to be chasing the wrong cat, to chase the wrong lead, to be a little bit misled. The cat that got the cream. Well, we've all hopefully been like this sometimes, a little smug, sitting there with a big cat grin on our face, like the cat that got the cream. Because if the cat does get the cream, they're sitting there licking their lips. They love the cream, so they enjoy it. So when somebody tells you you look like the cat that got the cream, you've got a big smile on your face, because obviously something's gone really right. You've either won the lotto, or you've won a big business deal, or you had a great round of golf, or whatever it is. You've got some wonderful news to share and you're sitting there with a big smile on your face. Go on, come on, ask me what happened. You look like the cat that got the cream. Come on, I'm waiting for you. You're waiting with excitement for somebody to ask you what happened so you can share your pleasure with them. The cat that got the cream. Empty nest. So we often use it as an empty nest syndrome. And that empty nest syndrome is when you look around the house one day and you realize that all the kids have moved out. They've gone. They've left university. They've gone on. They're with their partners, whatever they are. And you're looking at a slightly larger house than you now need for just two of you. And it's the typical empty nest syndrome. What are we going to do with all this space? Who are we going to talk to? Who are we going to shout at? Yeah, so you enjoy the free time, the peace and quiet. You don't have the worried nights waiting for somebody to come in, but it is an empty nest, the empty nest syndrome, like the birds when the little fledglings grow and they fly off and the mother bird or father bird are left there with nothing. The empty nest syndrome. Loan shark. Well, this is about finance, and a loan shark is somebody other than a bank or some financial institution that lends money to desperate people. Okay, so a loan shark is somebody that will lend money but at extortionate rates of interest. So instead of the bank interest rate of 2 or 3 or 4%, they're going to lend the money at a rate of 15 or 20%, and these are known as loan sharks. They will lend you the money, but they will take everything like a shark. They will take your arm off, charge you ridiculous rates of interest and huge penalties if you don't pay on time. So people are usually recommended, advised and asked to avoid loan sharks at all costs. Loan sharks. Top dog. Who wants to be the top dog? Well, everybody likes to be the top dog who makes the most noise, the top dog that gets the pick of the bunch of the female dogs. Yeah, so top dog is the person at the top of the tree. He's top dog around here, meaning he's the boss. He calls the shots. What he says goes. Okay, so yeah, nice to be sitting in your office, a little bit smug, and you look around thinking, yeah, I've made it. I'm top dog. Yeah. So it's the top dog is the person who's usually the most important, usually in the person in the highest position. But perhaps that doesn't always apply to home, where the good lady, the little wife, she often is the top dog. She calls the shots. Yeah. So top dog in your own little environment, in your football club, your tennis club, your office, the top dog. To ruffle feathers. Well, these are feathers on a bird, and when the wind blows, the feathers on the bird get ruffled and the bird pecks at them and smooths them out. Yeah. So when we ruffle somebody's feathers, we upset the status quo. We cause a little bit of a problem, or we cause a little bit of anxiety when we ruffle some feathers. Yeah. So you come into a meeting and you tell the people around the table that you don't agree with the proposals, you don't agree with what they're doing, you don't agree with the strategy, and people start complaining and moaning, and you say, what's happened? Have I ruffled a few feathers? Meaning, have I stepped on somebody's toes? Have I spoken out of turn? Or do you just simply not like what I have said? So when we ruffle feathers, we can do it deliberately, of course, or we can do it accidentally. But we ruffle feathers means we upset a few people. We don't play the game the way they want it played, and we try to change things. Okay, so to ruffle feathers. And then finally, the one that I threw in at the end, the elephant in the room. Of course, it's very obvious. If you're sitting in your room and there was a big elephant, you couldn't help but notice it there. Eh? Okay, either the size or anything else that might happen with an elephant in your room. So when we have a problem and people try to ignore it, then we say, yeah, but what about the elephant in the room? Yeah, so it's a perennial problem that just won't go away. People don't want to talk about it, but it's there. It's in the background. It's the elephant in the room. Okay, so it could be some simple thing that you just cannot persuade somebody to change their mind, and no matter what you do, they are going to stick to their guns, they're going to keep their view, and they're just not going to move, and they are the elephant in the rooms, because everybody else can agree, but if they don't agree, nothing is going to happen. So unless you get that person to change their mind, whatever you're planning is not going to happen. So this is the elephant in the room, the problem, the little issue that unless you resolve it, nothing is going to change. Okay, so yeah, the elephant in the room. Okay, so they're the animal idioms. Okay, teaching an old dog new tricks, big fish in a small pond, fly on the wall, more fish in the sea, barking up the wrong tree, the cat that got the cream, empty nest syndrome, lone shark, top dog, ruffle feathers, and finally the one I threw in, the elephant in the room. Okay, well, that's the end of my podcast. I'm very happy to do it. I'm hopeful that you'll enjoy it. And if there's anybody out there that you think will enjoy it, well, just give them the details, as I said. And if you want to contact me, well, then you can do so on www.englishlessonviaskype.com. Always happy to hear from you, and always happy to include your suggestions and your recommendations. Okay, well, as always, thanks for listening, and join me again soon.